It's just Cowboy Carter's world, and we're all living in it. Yee bloody ha. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're too loud. You popped my ears out. Sorry. You don't want me listening to Cowboy Carter. You're a nasty girl.
Right, what are your top five?
I haven't got a top five. I did pick out a list, though, of my favourites. I think it like turned out to be like top seven, maybe. So, Protector. I love a Beyonce ballad.
Okay.
I love that like low, deep raspiness. Bodyguard, Spaghetti, Just for Fun. Second Most Wanted or Two Most Wanted?
Well, yeah,
I don't know. That one.
Two Most Wanted.
And
yeah, yeah.
Riverside. Riverside is that song which I can't stop playing at the moment, or Get Out of My Head.
So River River Dance is written, co-written.
Is it River Dance or Riverside? It's Riverside.
River Dance.
Is it? Are you sure?
River Dance. I've got the track list. Can't.
Why have I called it Riverside?
I don't know.
Has she changed it?
But it's written by Ray, co-written by Ray.
I know. I was convinced it was. I've been calling it Riverside all this bloody time.
You've been looking like a silly Billy.
Sorry, Beyonce.
Listen, it's weird that those are like all your favorites. Like, I saw a tweet that I really related to that. There's so much content in this album. It's almost like hard to like for me like digest it all. And I only ever listen to like music when I'm in my car. Like I can't really sit and listen like when I'm in the house because there's so much things going on. Mm-hmm. So for me, like I hear it in like short bursts. So it's hard for me to really know all of the songs yet. But I really love American Requiem.
Such a good start to an
what
album.
A good song. And do you know what? It reminds me of. Kind of, do you remember at the era of like 2004, 2005 in your mum and dad's car on the radio? It was always Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, I was an adult at that time, so that no, I don't, but go on.
Were you actually?
No.
No, but you know what I mean? Like that kind of era, early 2000s. And
yeah.
it really reminds me of that style of music, like going on, going in the car for long journeys with your mum and dad and that kind of music.
What I love about the album is it's literally, you know when Beyonce said it's not country album, it's Beyonce album. So true, because it's not, I wouldn't call a lot of those tracks on there country. There is a country like influence.
Yeah, there's flavours
to it. But wow.
I love it.
Oh. Every time I say Yaya, I say it in the Kim Woodburn voice. But no, I really love it. I can't imagine it being toured, and I don't think there will be a tour. Oh. What I do want and what I pray for is that Beyonce records a little backyard session.
Like a Miley.
Yeah, very Miley, but with celebrity guests. So, you know, like Adele did in LA, but on a smaller scale. A bit like Simon Cowell's Judges' Houses vibes.
Yeah.
With all the people sit around and Beyonce's just there. A few celebrity guests come and join her.
The girls like from Destiny's Child.
Oh, yeah. Look.
The vibes.
That's what I want. Disney plus it. Let's go.
I adore Jolene.
I was going to say Gillian McKeith.
I just absolutely love it. I love that there's quite a bit of... the Beatles running through it as well. Obviously, we've got the Blackbird cover, and then it appears on what other song is it? There's another Beatles riff that's on it.
Are you thinking of Beach Boys?
Beach Boys, yeah.
Beach Boys in Yeah.
That's the one.
You're giving me good vibrations.
That's the one. So yeah, really good. I love it.
It's one of those albums like with Renaissance. There was like instant, like I was talking to someone else the other day about how Renaissance instantly had like moments. Like you had the Cuff It dance, you had the Heated rap, you had the Virgo's Groove kind of, it had like moments for online social media kind of TikTok trends. I feel this album, it's going to take a while to learn what those trends are because we're just like, it's such a shock.
It's
just kind of getting used to this new
big old
Beyonce
content
sound.
Dump.
Big old is, content and it's dump. Like, you don't know where to look.
I know,
it's like
I love
with
it.
Renaissance, it was like one consistent sound throughout. It was like house, dance, party. This is like ballad, dancing. Oh, it's just, I stan. Beyonce's mind, honestly.
Incredible.
Gorge.
One of the most.
But this isn't a Beyonce podcast, though.
It's not. It's a reality TV podcast.
Unfortunately, I wish we had a reality TV show with Beyonce, though.
Fancy another B.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Roll the titles.
Yeah. Yeah. Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris, a Gaydio original podcast. Well, here we go then. The final in the series of Fancy Another Pod.
Oh, it's been a lovely few months, hasn't it?
It has. It has. We've been through Traitors. We've been through Celebrity Big Brother. We have been through Dancing on Ice. Oh,
barely.
It all came down to last night. Friday night, where a winner was crowned in Drag Race UK versus the world. And
I have really, I know we haven't spoke about it a lot because we tried to, but then Celebrity Big Brother just took over. But I have really, really enjoyed this series. And I've not been a massive fan of the Versus the World franchises. I know we've had two others. The UK Versus the World, the first series, just felt a bit unfinished. It was very like staged, I feel.
Yeah.
The Canada one was good, leveled up a little bit. And I love the queens on there. The runways and everything was just stunning. But this one, I feel it was more catered to the American audience. And it had a bit more drama. A few more well-known queens. And it was actually a Versus the World. It wasn't
English-speaking. No, I agree. Yeah. And for me, like, I've dipped in and out of it, like a lot of people, because of Celebrity Big Brother just being slapped right in the middle of it. But I think you're right about it being more polished. I think because the first one, there's no expectations. I think they were probably figuring out what the format is. Now that the format is completely polished, there's a few little kinks in the row that have been ironed out. I think it's made for quite a good viewing experience. In fact, watching the final on Friday has kind of inspired me to sort of delve into drag a little bit more, because I know that we've been talking about drag fatigue, but it kind of renewed my faith in it. So I've started on Drag Race Down Under Season 3 today. So, so there is that. But let's talk about the winner.
I think we should talk about the episode first before we talk about the winner, because there's a lot to say about the winner. But I really loved how the episode went down. We haven't had a reunion in the UK episode, like properly like that. And it was great. And I fucking hope to God that we continue to see them for like the regular UK series. Mm-hmm. Because I know we had that little Untucked moment, which is very quick, very short. But having a host like Michelle actually ask questions. And I know some of it was probably staged and some of it was a bit awkward, but in the best way. Like the whole Jombas, Tia, Pixie. I just love that. I was like, what is going on? Nothing to do with the show. Stuff about obviously going on at home. I loved it. I was like, more, give me more, give me more.
But then we obviously had a winner crowned, and the final two were
Hannah Conda and Tia Coffey, which I'm not going to lie, no shade to anyone. I didn't see that coming. I really didn't.
Who did you think going into it that were going to be like the top two, top three?
Okay. So I'm not one of those Drag Race fans, which is very like on Reddit and obsessed with the show and like, producers do this, that, the other.
Yeah.
I just watch it based on like wins and fan reaction on socials. And I honestly did think Marina had I thought it was Marina's for the taking. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought even though they're not like the best at comedy or whatever, I just thought their looks have been outstanding. They've been so good at like lip syncing and stuff. And I thought if it comes down to a lip sync, Marina. But Hannah and Tia, they slayed those lip syncs. They really did. And I'm not saying they didn't deserve it at all, because they were hilarious. And yeah, they're not like the best lip syncers if you view lip syncs as like Shablam Queens. But they were fucking hilarious and they bought it.
But I think this is what we're learning with the Versus the World franchises and to a degree All Stars. I think it's quite clear in the normal series the kind of winner or the kind of drag act that they want to promote. So Christopher Sarch's season I felt was more geared towards look queens, whereas like Danny Beard's series was much more comedy. Same for season one, it felt like a much more comedy. Whereas Versus the World, I feel like it's looking for that all-rounder. And to me, the winner, Tia Coffey, well-deserved, proved hands down that she's an all-rounder. Comedy,
yeah,
singing,
definitely,
dancing, all bloody sorts.
Honestly, like, compared to their season two, And we've said this before. I feel like they were doing in season two what they thought a drag queen was, and they were kind of appealing to your average Drag Race fan. They were trying to do the looks. And they weren't really focusing on what makes them happy. And I feel in these few years, they've just realized, I'm just going to be my fucking self. I'm going to be a bit geeky. I'm going to be a bit nerdy. I'm going to, you know, bring that to the table. And we've seen, like, their Doctor Who loving, sci-fi loving self on the runway, through everything they do. And they are so funny. They are so... We saw that in the Snatch Game. They are a comedy queen. Like, I'm sorry. That Snatch Game was so brilliant.
She is... well, her star is ablaze at the minute. She's obviously doing the podcast.
The mother I never had. The sister always wanted.
Not this. But she, do you know what? She's everywhere. She's having a real moment at the minute, Tia Coffey. Obviously, she performed at the Gaydio Pride Awards with Hilton for the Stay a few months ago.
With Hilton Stay,
Get the spun in. And has since then, obviously dropped Read My Lips. That single is an absolute banger. She's obviously launched her podcast. Her album has since dropped on the finale of Drag Race versus the UK versus the World.
Have you bought the album, Brett? Have you bought the album? $6.99 on iTunes.
I'm a stream queen.
Look, I DM'd you and I was like, look, because they're selling vinyls. And I've got a vinyl player, I've got vinyls, but I never really listened to vinyls. I've got two Beyonce vinyls there wrapped in cellophane still. And one other one's on the bloody way. I was like, look, I'm not going to spend 20 odd quid on a vinyl to you. I'm sorry, darling. Are you doing CDs? And she was like, no. I was like, look, I really want to help you. I really want to support. Even though I'll stream the album, I want to buy a copy.
Yeah.
So I have bought one on iTunes. I will never listen to it on iTunes, but she's had 7 quid of mine.
Fair enough.
I want a CD. I want a fucking CD.
Why is it when anyone that you like does something, you're sat there sniffing around for what you can get out of it? You're very shallow. You're very bloody shallow.
Look, you don't ask, you don't get.
Where are Lauren's candles?
She's ignored us. She's doing a whole bloody new season of Housewives of Cheshire. And she's not... just ignored us. I'm like...
Not so much a scented candle.
I'm not going to lie. I unfollowed her. Look, you ain't sending me anything. You're losing my follow. Goodbye, Lauren.
Lauren, it was fun for 3 weeks, but we're done here. There's nothing more we can get. but let's talk about some of the reaction as well. I think largely it's been quite positive, Tia's win, but there has been... And I think it is noticeable. There have been a few negative comments towards Tia, which I think, and we've talked about this a lot on the pod.
Mm-hmm. It's been awful to see, not even just like after the win, but like the lead up to this final. People have been really bloody horrible and not even in a nice kind of bantery, shady Drag Race fan. Yeah. I've got my favorite, like, type of way, which is always fun to do in the lead up to the final. Everyone has their faves and it's always fun to like just be a bit shady and a bit cunty. That's what like Drag Race fans are.
Yeah.
But being actually hateful and nasty, it's giving football hooligan vibes. I hate to see it.
So when I saw the tweet of Tia being a winner, and obviously there's largely a lot of positive on there, and you go about two or three tweets under and you start getting, and it I feel awful, but it's just the comments of, oh, it's the producers that wanted you to win. And I think, why would you go out of your day just to be a twat to someone? You know, have those chats, have those laughs in private with your friends that are watching along. And there is an element of Twitter being that, or reacting being like, didn't want Tia to win, think it was a bit set up, whatever. But I feel like when someone posts something, again, it's that targeted feeling towards it. So, you know, when we're watching Celebrity Big Brother and Louis Walsh does something that pisses us all off, and we do like, oh my God, can't believe Louis just done that. What a twat. Hashtag CBBUK. That is very much different from replying to a post from Louis Walsh being like, you are a twat. And that they're two very different things for me. So going out of your way to have a direct line of communication to just be nasty, I don't get it.
As well, like what we just said about producers and stuff, like, yeah, a lot of reality TV is kind of guided by producers and storylines are set up, or like people are kind of coerced into like doing certain things, especially we've heard it about Drag Race before, especially about some of the decisions that I made in All Stars with the lipstick choice and stuff. Fine, whatever. Like, we're just watching drag, though. For me, I don't really give a shit who wins. Like, I love that tier one. I think it's totally deserved. I'm so proud of them. But I don't give a shit who wins. We've enjoyed a whole series of fantastic drag from around the world. We've learned about different styles of drag. Look, we've seen people like Marina, who's like fully like out there. Like, that's the norm in Philippines. But to us, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? We've seen people like Hannah Conda, who's introduced us to Australian drag. And I love that point that they made, where Australian drag seems like a bridge between American drag and UK drag. I think that's totally true. And I feel like UK drag has always been a bit campy. It's always been a bit silly. It's always been a bit like...
Bingo hall.
You know, like, very bingo hall.
But in the best possible way.
In the best way. And I feel that's what season one Drag Race UK really brought us, like with Bagger and Vivian and Davina. But then, like you mentioned, Crystal, that felt very look. And I think that's why season three flopped. I really do, because it tried to be American. But Tia is of that bingo hall drag British. And it's so great to see that they won. And it kind of validates that kind of drag. And it's like, oh, actually, fair play. Like, you can do that. And it's not all about shablams. And it's not all about fantastic gowns and how you can dance, how you can perform. Sometimes it is just a different style of drag is great and it's fine.
Speaking of different styles of drag, before we hopped on to record the pod, you were trying to convince me to watch another series in the drag franchise.
Look, this series of Drag Race US is phenomenal.
No.
I love it. I love it. You're going to fall in love with the queens if you watch it. I promise
Me and Charlotte got involved with Drag Race UK with Drag Race as a franchise when it came to the UK. And one of our friends were working on it. So we were like, okay, we're going to jump
on
it.
I never watched Drag Race until lockdown.
So that's when we started watching the American one simultaneously, like, because it used to drop like a little bit after the UK one dropped. So we just started watching that because we enjoyed it. But then UK versus the World dropped, and then Down Under and Canada dropped, and it just got to the point where we were watching about two or three franchises at anyone go, and it just got to a point where we were like, we can't do this.
In lockdown, I know exactly what season it was, because that was the season that Jada won. Mm-hmm. That's when I started watching it.
Love Jada.
It was about the time Jada season and Shea Coulee won All Stars.
Look over there.
I was like, right, what's going on? I need to start. That was the first episode I watched. That was literally the first drag episode I watched. I was like, right, let me go back and watch the whole series. And then UK drag started, and I was just like, right, I need to watch everything now. I need to watch everything because I'm obsessed. But since then, we've had a series of Drag Race on every fucking week. There's been UK drag, US drag, All Stars, Canada, Australia. It's like just been nonstop.
But the problem with this is, and I remember in about 2006, 2007, you would have the X Factor in the UK and you'd get American Idol on ITV2 in a graveyard slot about 4 or 5 months after it broadcast in America. And no one was asked. The problem that we have now is that it's so accessible. Like on the BBC, they've bought the rights for it. So it's just there. Like, so it's not special. So there's the fans that will watch it. And then they will get bored. Like we all get bored by having so much of something. So part of me is like, is there much point in having such? Is it because it's so easily accessible that it's causing
me,
the fatigue?
I've got into my little routine now, especially with Drag Race UK vs the World. I've watched it, even though I hated it on a Friday. I'd watch it on a Friday with a few drinks, and then Saturday morning hangover, watch US Drag Race. And I like that little routine. It's like, okay, that's like at the start of your weekend. But it can get too much, because I know now the Drag Race US season's going to finish in about a month. We're going to have All Stars. It's like, oh, here we bloody go.
Not again.
I do enjoy it. I do.
But, you know, there's also other reality TV show that's out there at the minute, like The Apprentice. It's still on. We're on week 67.
I can't believe it.
Of the current series.
I totally forgot about the Apprentice until I watched a TikTok, and I was like, oh my god, like it's still on.
It's still on.
Did they have a double eviction? This week?
Double firing. So last week, Noor was fired without being invited to bring anyone back into the boardroom. Camp chaos, and then didn't appear on The Apprentice, You're Fired. Still Ouch. Adamant that her idea for a TV advert for a camper van that didn't actually include the camper van was a great idea. But, you know.
I've not watched The Apprentice and since... I can't remember what challenge it was. But go on.
So this week there was a double firing. And it's getting to the point of the competition now where you start identifying the people that you think, actually, they're quite switched on. They're probably going to make it to the final. And I was gutted, devastated by Raj, who just completely unraveled on this week's task. And they had to sell as many items and make as much money from the items that they chose on a shopping channel. They have to manage the shopping channel and they're shouting down the microphone in the gallery. And then Raj was just shouting, screaming, and replying to what the people in the gallery were saying in her ear. And it was the first time in any of these apprentice tasks that someone watching the shopping channel wrote a letter of complaint saying, where did you find these screaming ladies? Could you not get the normal presenters on? And a complaint to what I'm guessing is Price Drop TV.
Was it an actual shop?
They went live on an actual shopping channel. What?
I can relate to this so much. Like back in my teenage days, when I was at school, sixth form, we did a thing called Young Enterprise. I don't know if every school does it in the country.
No, so I
basically, it was like the Apprentice. You had to make up a product, you had to market it, you had to sell it. And I was in my element. We were great. Our idea was to make toy boxes.
You
we
do
made
say
them.
So yourself.
We made them. We painted them. We marketed them. We sold them on a store. It was great. But on selling day, I felt like I was in The Apprentice. And I was like running about trying to buy them. I was literally. And I remember like.
Hello, my darling. Someone. Do you need a toy box?
Genuinely, I remember interrupting someone to be like, go and grab them. They've got a child. And they were like, calm down. And then I had an out of body experience where I watched myself do it. I was like, oh my God, I'm a cunt. So then I reined it in. But you know what? We won best marketing. And look, I'm not going to lie. Reason. I feel like I've won The Apprentice.
Well,
it was
look,
about 20 years ago, but yeah.
Trouble firing and it's getting competitive. I'm going to urge you, let's get into the final week. We're heading into those impressive interview rounds. But I'm going to be honest about these. And I'm going to be honest about the way Lord Sugar conducts himself in the boardroom. If I was ever in an atmosphere or spoken to like that in the workplace, I would give it back. And I understand that it's part of TV, but I do feel like business doesn't operate like that anymore. Like you can't get away with things as much as that anymore. Would it not be nice to freshen up the format?
Well, this is what I used to love The Apprentice so much. And this is why I've kind of stopped watching it, because I feel it's become more of an entertainment program, which I'm fine with. Like, yeah, you know, that's what TV is for. But I do miss the days of The Apprentice where I was actually learning something from it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like
and it's not moved.
I'm talking about Ruth Badger days. Do you know what I mean?
It's not moved with the times in the sense that they can't communicate with each other on mobile phones. And it's like, actually, for me, it would actually be more entertaining to see people be like, well, we didn't think to call you. Like, because that is stupid. Mm-mm. Like, I want to see stuff like that. And I think that they're almost set up to fail, whereas people will fail naturally, and it'll make for a more authentic watch, I think. Let's dial it back and get some proper business people.
Well, I think I know where a lot of the failure happens, because I was speaking to one of the producers when I did Come Down With Me. Yes, I was. One of the people that worked on my episodes used to work on The Apprentice, and they told me, like, it's so strict and regimented. Like, when there's no cameras there, they can't do anything. Like, sometimes they just want to crack on with the task, and they're so business-focused that they just want to do it. And they're like, no, there's no cameras here. And they were, like, to the point where they're snatching pens and pencils away from them. Like, don't write anything down, because we're not filming you. And it's like, that's why I think a lot of the time, when there's no cameras on them, they can't do the task. So if they've got an idea, or they want to do something, they can't. So I think that's where a lot of the failures come into play.
That's so bad. That is so bad.
Mad, isn't it?
Mad. Anyway, we've got something else as well we need to get stuck into. A couple of episodes have dropped. Alan Carr's Interior Design Masters. I love
right.
it. Love
I'm
it.
I'm recording
it.
I sound like a housewife from the 90s, but I've got it on tape.
Okay, good. On your VHS.
I'm going to watch it because I do love Alan Carr. And I feel this is a show that I'm gonna really love.
Oh,
and I was listening to I'm listening to another podcast. I'm sorry, I'm listening to another podcast. Danny Bates Gossip Gaze.
Okay, I
and
forgive you.
like Danny was talking about how, Danny was talking about how much he loves interior designs. I was like, hold on a second,
it's this so wholesome. It's a bit like, you know, when Bake Off first dropped and it felt like it's like that classic BBC quaint little TV show. The only thing that annoys me is the lack of budget behind it, and they only get given like £1,000 to do stuff, and you can kind of tell when they go in and design a space. I like it, but sometimes it just looks a bit shit. Like, it would look so much better if they had a 10 grand budget. Do you know what I mean? But I feel like it's the ethos of the show.
Yeah, and I also feel like the average person that's going to watch it hasn't got 10 grand to spend on a room.
Yeah,
so I think a grand is like, you know what I mean? It's like doable, and it shows that you can do this too. So yeah, I am going to watch it. I'll try and watch it before next week.
Good, good. Speaking of next week.
I was going to say, we did say at the start this could be the last in the series. But we have been putting pen to paper, darling.
Oh, we have. And I just like having a natter. I do.
I never want it to end. I never want it to end.
I don't. I think we could take natural breaks, but I'm kind of happy just carrying on.
I like our little hour catch up. I do.
I do.
But
and we've got something new.
We've got a good reason, actually, because the Huns are coming.
This is right up my street. Right.
I don't
up
know
my
when
street.
It starts. Oh no, we do know when it starts. Wednesday the 10th of April.
Bring it on. Drama Queens.
On ITV.
It's giving Real Housewives, but instead of it being the Real Housewives, it's all of the female soap stars. So you've got like Brooke Vincent, Sophie Webster, there's Lucy Fallon, Bethany Platt from Corrie.
I'll tell you a full list. Bear with us, Bab. But it's giving camp. It's giving, I don't know what to expect, but I'm really in for it. So it's called Drama Queens on ITV. It starts April the 10th.
Yeah.
Georgie Porter from Hollyoaks, Amy Walsh from Emmerdale, Brooke Vincent from Corrie, who I absolutely love, Roxy Shahidi from Emmerdale, Jamelia from Hollyoaks, who Birmingham Bab absolutely adore, also performing at Birmingham Pride this year. Tickets on sale now. Ellie Leach from Corrie, who also won Strictly with my bae, Vito. Lucy Fallon from Corrie, who's just come back as Bethany Platt. And Laura Norton from Emmerdale, I believe.
Bring it on. Bring it, bloody on.
I'm here for it. I don't
Let's
know
get the girls
going
on. Let's
get them all on. Look, I feel if we got them on, ITV, if you're listening, if you can hook us up with a little chat, you, me, the girlies, at a brunch. Look. I think.
Chop.
Camp.
It will be.
Camp.
Bring it on.
Get us at the British Soap Awards. You and me on the British Soap Awards red carpet.
It's cancelled.
Bring it back. We'll host it.
Wow.
Scope,
so
get out.
Are we doing it then next week?
Look, we'll have a week's break because we've got a week to start.
Week off. We'll watch it and we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can't wait. Bring it on.
You have me working like a dog. But honestly...
If anyone is listening, I hope, has other reality TV shows that you're watching and you want us to watch, let us know. I did start watching Josh Must Win. I don't know if you watched that.
I was one of the only 170,000 people that watched the first episode, no.
Was it that low?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was doing quite well. Loads of people are talking about it on socials.
When you consider that Big Brother was getting between 1.7 and 2.3 million.
Look, I've got it recorded. I've got it on tape. You know what the only thing putting me off is?
Go on.
I don't like...
Josh.
I don't like one of the people on there. I'm not... No! I don't like one of the people on there.
Okay, just mouth their name without saying it so I can say...
My lips are big, so that you probably heard that on the mic.
No, I... Let me put it in... Let me type it to you and see
just
if I've got
say
that
it.
Right.
Pete Wicks. I don't really like Pete Wicks. Look, he's giving me the ick, and I'll tell you why off the pod. Because I don't want to be slanderous. And until I see an improvement in behaviour... look, I'm sorry.
Should we
personally,
wrap up the pod?
He's not done anything. You're dying to know.
I'm dying. let's wrap it up. I mean, you can tell me. Right, I will see be you in a few weeks.
I'm going to catch up with Josh Muswin. I'll report back next episode.
Nice one. Ta-ra! Ta-ra.
5CNLPod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris, a Gaydio original podcast.
Look, I'm going to get in trouble, that man. Coming.
Never saw you and Pete Wick.
We're going to be at the British Soap Awards red carpet, loving life. We're going to be enjoying ourselves, and then Pete Wick is going to walk up to me and bop me in the face.
Well, I think you deserve it, to be honest.
Oh, he hasn't done anything personally. I don't hate the man. I just saw something and it really gave me a little shudder up my spine. I was like, oh no.
What's he done? What the hell's he done? What war crime are you trialing Pete Wicks on?
He seems lovely, but I just need some proof before I can trust him again.
What the fuck is going on? This is too much. It's way too much.
Oh. Not me trying to get a party, Tammy. I'm going to be walking down the aisles of Asda
with Jemma
Pete Wicks. What are you doing? I'm just getting my shopping and everything.